الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، in our series on حقوق العباد, I want to talk about something which is very critical for us to understand, and that is the issue of stealing. Now you might say this is a strange thing to talk about because we are not thieves. I hope we are not thieves. Because stealing is of many kinds, and we don't seem to understand how many kinds of stealing there is. And Islam does not prohibit only one kind of stealing. Islam prohibits all kinds of stealing. For example, if you are working for somebody and you are being paid for a period of time, if you do anything other than what you are being paid for, that is tantamount to stealing. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was riding a workhorse. He's not riding his normal horse. He was riding a workhorse which he had hired this workhorse from its owner, and he was taking it to his place, to his farm, for the work. And while he was going on his way, he had some cloth on his back which fell off, and he didn't notice. And he went a little bit further away, and there was a man in the road, and that man saw this cloth fall down. So he stopped him and he said, "Your cloth fell down behind you, so it's maybe 20, 30, 40 steps behind." Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu told the man, "Please stay here." He got off the horse, he said, "Just hold on to this horse." He walked back to the place, he picked up his cloth, and he came back and mounted his horse. So this man said, "This is a strange thing. You are riding a horse. Why did you get off the horse and go and pick up your cloth? You could have just turned around on the horse itself and gone, and you know, why did you need to do that?" He said, "Because I hired this horse for a particular purpose. The man charged me a fee for a particular purpose. If I make the horse walk back 20 feet or 20 steps, the horse is doing more than what I hired him for. So what do I answer to the man? My cloth fell down, that's my problem. If I turn around and make the horse walk 20 steps and then he has to walk another 20 steps to come back here, how do I answer this man? How do I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Our Salaf set some very stringent standards for us. So how do we answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are working for somebody and you spend more time on the coffee machine than you spend on your workplace? How do you answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are given stationery in your office, obviously for official use, and you use this stationery to print your own personal letters, to print your your personal printing? Asking to do it and getting permission is a different matter. Then you can do it, no problem. You can do that and make paper aeroplanes with it or something, Allah Allah. But without asking, the stationery belongs to somebody else. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayh, let me give you an example closer to our times. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayh used to have two pens in his pocket. One pen was for his official work. If he had to write, he would write using that official pen for which the ink came from the office. And the other pen was his personal pen. If he had to write a personal letter, he would not use the official pen. He would use his personal pen for which he bought the ink. Yeah. These are the standards set by our elders. So how do we answer this? How do we answer when we spend time, when we are getting paid for that time, and you are spending it in something other than what you got paid for? You are using, I am just giving you the example of stationery that applies to everything. all official things which are you, which you have been given for a particular purpose, whether it's your official car, whether it is gas for that car. We know people who would not use the official car to drop their children to school. The children would go in an auto rickshaw or something. Although this man is a big officer in the government, he has an official car, a driver and so on, he will not do. I know people who used to go to the market themselves with a basket and go and buy vegetables. They have official servants and orderlies in the house. They will not use them. Because they say, no, this government has given this purpose, this person to me for the upkeep of my official residence. He is not there to get my vegetables from the market. How do you answer? Let me ask you this question. This is a big problem with the Muslim Ummah. The problem of violating copyright. Let me ask you this question. If somebody breaks into Bill Gates' house and he steals Bill Gates' car, or he steals Mr. Gates' wallet, or he steals Mrs. Gates' jewelry, do you call this theft or is it not theft? What about if somebody uses a Microsoft product without paying for the license? Is that theft or not theft? Because Microsoft products are the reason, are the way in which Bill Gates got his money. So you are saying to me that to steal the money is haram. If you steal the money and you get caught, according to the Islamic law, your right hand should be chopped. But if you steal the means by which he got the money, this is okay. Does it make sense? So how does it make sense to use pirated software? Use open code. I mean, if you want to use, there's a lot of open code stuff. You want to use that. Or buy it. Buy the copyrighted stuff. It's not only a question of pirated software. It's a question of using intellectual property that belongs to somebody else. Using it is not the problem, because in many cases, for example, all my stuff, I have said any of my stuff can be used by anybody provided they acknowledge the source, because this is the rule of copyright. Right? But I find many times my quotes literally take my words literally taken out of my books without so much as a comma being different, taken and used as their own. Now that is the problem. That is the problem. Problem is not using it. I mean, if I am a teacher, and nothing gives a teacher more pleasure than to see people using what he has taught. That is why you teach. Why else do you teach? You don't teach so that people will never use that. You teach it so that they will use it. But if you are using something, it is decency, it is honesty, it is integrity to acknowledge the source of that thing. Now people say, why do you need it? After all, Allah will give you the result. Allah will give you reward. Can you use the same argument? You break into somebody's house, a rich man's house, right? Bill Gates is a billionaire. You break into Bill Gates' house. You said, why are you worried? You know, I take your car, I have no car. You've got 20 cars, you can buy another 20. Is it halal in Islam to steal from a rich man? Is it haram only to steal from a poor man? I mean, or stealing is haram? Which one? So where is the question of saying, well, you don't need it? Whether the man needs it or he doesn't need it is not your problem. The problem is your action is dishonest and you are a thief. I see this all the time. I say, Alhamdulillah, no problem. Inshallah, on the day of judgment, I will stand before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will take it out of your deeds. Simple as that. And I've said this very clearly. I will stand before the throne of Allah and I will take it from your deeds. Make no mistake. Use whatever you want. Don't acknowledge the source. Pretend it is yours. And believe me, you are mine. And all your deeds are mine. This is such a big fitna in this ummah. Stealing of copyright. And those who are fatwa addicted, let me tell you, there is a fatwa from Mufti Taqi Usmani, Daawat Barkato. And there is a fatwa from Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayh. So whether you are a Salafi or a Hanafi, this should satisfy you, inshallah. Both have said very clearly, stealing copyright is haram. It is haram. It is like stealing gold and jewelry and whatever, whatever. Copyright does not mean that you have the right to copy. Whoever has created that intellectual property, that person spent his energy, he spent his time, he spent his money, he spent his intelligence in creating something which has value. If it was useless, if it was valueless, you wouldn't steal it in the first place. Why are you stealing it? Because you find value in it. So you steal it. I mean, what kind of decency is that? I have so many instances of these things which we see all around. And I thought, let me therefore talk about that today in the Fajr reminder. Do not steal. The reminder today is, do not steal. Because the hukum against stealing is very, very severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive a person who steals. And as I told you, stealing is not only material things. It doesn't only have to come in a sack. Whatever does not belong to you, if you have taken it, if you are using it, whether it is material, whether it is knowledge, whether it is something else, this is stealing. And you are a thief. And there is a punishment for being a thief. In this dunya as well as in the akhirah. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us not do that. Let us be honorable, let us be honest. If you use something, acknowledge it. If you don't want to acknowledge it, don't use it. Invent your own. Nobody stops you, right? Invent your own. But if you can't invent your own, or you don't want to invent your own, you want to use something, take permission. Take permission, acknowledge. And if you don't do that, then be prepared to give up your deeds on the day of judgment to the person from whom you stole. It's as simple as that. There is no complication in it. It's as simple as that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live lives which are a source of inspiration for ourselves and others, and to live in a way which is a blessing for us in this dunya and a means of forgiveness in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.